O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to God all the earth.
Sing to God. Bless God's name. Tell of God's vision from day to day.
Declare God's glory among the nations, God's marvelous works among all the peoples. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the seas roar.
Thank you.
O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to God all the earth.
Sing to God. Bless God's name. Tell of God's nation from day to day.
Declare God's glory among the nations, God's marvelous works among all the peoples. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the seas roar, and all that fills it.
The
trees, the forests, sing for joy before God.
Jesus looked at his disciples. He looked at all those who had followed him and said this: "It is my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." And he said that with what one small caveat: that we not keep it to ourselves, but rather we spread it. And here, we believe in not just spreading it to the person in front of or behind us, but spreading out in this room that we might share it with someone we have yet to meet. The peace of Christ be with you. Share it with one another. So once again, brothers and sisters, I say to you, good morning. I don't know what brought you through those doors today. I don't know why, of all the places you could have been on this morning, you chose this spot. But I do know this: no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, no matter what kind of baggage you carry, you are welcome here. No matter whether the society of ours privileges you or holds you down because of who you are, how you look, or who you love, you are welcome here. Whether your mood matches the sparkling and cheery weather we have today, or whether life for you is partly cloudy or even stormy, you are welcome and celebrated here. And we are glad that you have come through those doors and here into the house of God. But you know what? That's not even the best of it. For as we step through those doors and into this space, here we worship and we remember and we reclaim who we are, one body of Christ. Here in worship, we are reanimated and rejuvenated by the power of the Holy Spirit moving through us. Here in worship, we are recreated and remade in the very image of the one who formed and shaped us from dust. It's a wonderful and transforming thing that happens to us when we walk through those doors. So friends, drink it in, soak it up, and bask in the good news of God and the fellowship of neighbor. For in just a little while, we will go back out through those doors, enlivened and emboldened to take God's extravagant welcome out into the world. Friends, welcome to worship. I would invite anyone who has an announcement to make about our life together to please come forward to this microphone that you might be ready to do so. In the meantime, I have a couple of things to bring to your attention. First, if you are new, if you are a visitor here, I would invite you to fill out the pew card. This little card that's in each of the pews, and simply place it in the offering plate as it comes around so that I might reach out to you with a friendly note and a thank you for being with us today. Michelle.
Hi, I'm Michelle Gillette, and I want to call your attention to the back of your bulletin, which tells you all about the all-church picnic today at 12 noon. It's a beautiful day, so I hope everybody can go. And I also want to invite you to the Strawberry Social after church next Sunday, and it will again be a beautiful day, I'm sure.
Friends, there never has been, nor will there ever be, another moment quite like this one. It was a moment made for the worship of God. So let's get to it.
Well, when I originally put this all together, I was anticipating that there'd be children to teach this hymn to. But there doesn't seem to be very many kids. So I want to tell you a little bit about how really wonderful it is that we come from such a singing tradition, as that we can pass it along to our kids is just amazing. When I was a kid, I went to church every Sunday. Some of you know my mom was a church organist, so yes, I was in church every Sunday. And I encourage kids to sing all the hymns and learn how to sing the different parts, you know, sing the alto part, learn how to read bass clef, sing the tenor part, sing the bass part, what the heck. It's fun to sing, and it's fun. These songs are just amazingly wonderful things to have in our hearts. So I encourage you to pass that along to any kids you might know. If you hear a child singing in a pew, say, good job, not shush up, and everything is good. But that means you get to learn this song instead. Okay, this song, one of the best things about this hymnal is I'm learning things all the time. This is a hymn tune called New England, and I've never heard it before. I've lived here all my life. So this is really cool, and it's really fun, and it's a very nice children's tune. So if you want to look along in the music, it's 294, but you don't have to. You can just do it. We'll do a Pete Seeger way. I'll sing to you, and you sing me back. Wherever I may wander, may ever I may wander, wherever I may be, wherever I may be, I'm certain of my Maker's love, I'm certain of my Maker's love. God's care is over me, God's care is over me. God made the great high mountains and made the wide blue sea. It repeats, so I figured you could do it. God made the great high mountains and made the wide blue sea. God made the sky where airplanes fly. God made the world and me. God made the sky where airplanes fly. God made the world and me. Let's do the whole next verse together. Throughout the whole creation, I see God's loving care. For everyone in every land, God's children everywhere. Wherever I may wander, God's care is over me.
Pray as Jesus taught us to pray, lifting our voices, saying, Our God,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
The letter to Ephesus was likely to be a teacher who followed in the footsteps of Paul. The theme of this letter is the celebration of the hope for a universal church where Jew and Gentile are joined together as one body. Hear these words from the fifth chapter. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be associated with those who deceive. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention that such people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Heed these words, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand that the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are words of truth and hope. Let us rejoice and be glad in them.
One of the reasons that this is my favorite hymn is for the various experiences I've had with it, and because my brother and my cousin were in the Royal Navy for 10 years, and my brother in the Royal Australian Naval Reserve for the rest of his life, and his memorial service at HMS A.S. Watson in Sydney included this hymn. My another experience with it is singing it in St. Paul's Cathedral with a choir made up of Girl Guides. And I was also a Sea Ranger, which I believe in America the equivalent is Mariner Scouts. And we had a weekend on a ship captured at the Battle of the Nile by Nelson, but I can't find out which Battle of the Nile, because one was in 1798 and the other in 1801. I thought you'd like to know the origin of the hymn. The composer, John Backus Dykes, was born in England in 1823. By age 10, he was the organist of a church in Hull where his grandfather was the vicar. Dykes also played the piano and violin, and at age 24, he earned a classics degree from Cambridge University and was ordained a curate in 1847. He composed and/or harmonized over 300 hymn tunes, including many of my favorites, actually, We Plow the Fields and Scatter, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and one of the tunes to the 23rd Psalm, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, Nearer My God to Thee, and Eternal Father, Strong to Save, naming the tune Melita, an island in the Mediterranean, which was the site of a shipwreck in the Acts of the Apostles. Melita is now known as Malta. The author, William Whiting, was born in Kensington in London in 1825, educated at Winchester College, and became headmaster of Winchester College Choristers' School. While he published two volumes of poetry, he is best known for the words to the hymn we are about to sing. He lived on the East Sussex coast and had survived a fierce storm in the Mediterranean. One of his students, about to embark on a voyage to the United States, confided that he had an overwhelming fear of the sea. This poem is Whiting's response and is thought to be based on his own experience at sea and on Psalm 107, which, beginning with the verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships, describes the sea in all its fury. This hymn is known as the Navy Hymn in the United Kingdom, the United States, and all the Royal Navies of the Commonwealth, and has been adopted by the French Navy and others. The first verse is sung to include all Sunday divine services at Annapolis Naval Academy. It has been played or sung at the funerals of Presidents Franklin Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, Richard Nixon, and Ronald Reagan. Also sung at Windsor Castle at a ceremony celebrating the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. Words have been written to cover all military services, including astronauts and military families. And I'd like to read the one for military families. It includes the words, God, who dost still the restless foam, protect the ones we love at home. Provide that they should always be by thine own grace, both safe and free. O Father, hear us when we pray for those we love so far away. And as I am requested to add a little of my faith experience, this latter verse, the one that is not included in the hymn, means a lot to me because my father spent most of the years of World War II in London, making decisions about whether he had been a builder, whether buildings that had been bombed should be razed to the ground or shored up. But his absence meant that my mother went through hard times economically. We were brought up to understand that God loved us all and provided no matter what our need. My mother went to get the last coal out of the coal bunker and tripped. And there was a basket full of food, the coal bunker full of coal, and there was a note with the first basket saying, "Thank you for your singing in church." And there was a basket of food and the coal house full of coal until this person realized that my mother no longer had the need, and she never found out who had given her this great gift. So thank you.
Good morning. The hymn that I've chosen to speak about today is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Like Ronnie, I want to start off by giving a bit of background information about the hymn and its author, and then share with you my reasons for choosing this particular hymn for today. The author of this hymn is Joseph M. Scriven. He was born in Ireland in 1819. Educated at Trinity College in Dublin, he enrolled in a military college to carry on his family's military tradition with a career in the army. However, poor health soon forced him to give up this ambition, and then came a second blow. His fiancée died in a drowning accident on the eve of their wedding in 1844. Sadly, this would not be Mr. Scriven's only encounter with awful tragedy throughout his life. In 1845, he immigrated to Canada and began work as a tutor and a lay preacher. He once again found love, but once again his hopeful plans for marriage were dashed when his new bride-to-be died from pneumonia in 1860. Following this calamity, Scriven seldom had a regular income, and he lived in the homes of others. Influenced by the beliefs of the Plymouth Brethren, he tried to live according to the Sermon on the Mount as literally as possible, giving and sharing all he had, and often doing menial tasks for the poor and physically disabled. Scriven became a familiar sight around the town of Port Hope, a big man with bushy white hair and full white beard, carrying a sawhorse and a saw, offering to cut wood for anyone who was unable to cut his own or pay someone to do it for him. It was said that he literally gave the shirt off of his back to anyone in need, and that any money sent to him by his family would soon find its way to the poor. He was known to preach wherever there were people gathered, and was even arrested on one occasion and told to cease preaching on the front streets on Saturdays. Scriven died at the age of 66 in Ontario, Canada, in what was ruled an accidental drowning. Originally titled Pray Without Ceasing, Scriven wrote What a Friend We Have in Jesus in 1855 to comfort his sick mother in Dublin. When asked by a neighbor about the writing of this text, Scriven modestly commented, "The Lord and I did it between us." The text was published anonymously in a book of hymns in 1865, set to its current familiar tune in 1875, but it wasn't until 1866 that Scriven was given proper credit. In a short biographical sketch, Reverend James Cleveland describes the hymn this way: "In our modern hymnology, few of our hymns have attained such widespread popularity as the one entitled What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Without the endorsement of any well-known name, in fact, without any recognized paternity, its circulation has been worldwide and its unsurpassed excellency universally acknowledged. It has been translated into many languages, and over 50 million impressions of the piece are known to have been made." I guess you could say this was the 19th century version of something going viral. I think when Brent asked me to do this a few weeks ago, he probably thought the assignment would be a no-brainer. Surely the son of a Methodist minister who was raised in a musical household, someone with a degree in music, would not have a tough time coming up with his favorite hymn. But I knew it would not be quite that easy. There's so many hymns that are favorites of mine that I love for different reasons. I might like the tune to this hymn, or I really love singing this hymn in Easter, or the harmony for this hymn is really great. So how do you pick your favorite? Well, I took the hymnal home with me and started leafing through the pages, putting little pieces of paper between them to mark the places where I thought there were hymns that could make my favorites list. And as I looked over the hymns I had picked, I noticed two things. One, pretty much all of the hymns that I had picked were from when I was much younger, probably between the ages of 7 and 12. Why would this be the case? Well, I think this was a time in my life when my musical ability was starting to show. Putting music and words together and singing them was something that came very easily to me, and it just felt good. Music has truly been a blessing that has influenced a significant portion of my life. And I think the other reason that so many of my favorite hymns are from my childhood is that this was a time when I just found it so much easier to just simply believe. In the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 13 through 15, the familiar story is told of how little children were being brought to Jesus to be blessed. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." This is not the first time that Jesus uses a child to illustrate a point he is trying to make. In chapter 18, the disciples had been arguing about who among them was the greatest. And Jesus calls over a child and he says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." I think most children are trusting by nature. All most children need in order to feel secure is a loving look or a gentle touch from someone that they know, someone who cares. Oftentimes, this is all it takes for them to trust us. As an extension of that trust, children believe us. They believe in us. As a father of two young children, I realize what an awesome responsibility that is. Sadly, for most of us, we lose that ability to trust so easily. As we journey from childhood to adulthood, we begin to trust more in our own knowledge and our own abilities rather than God's knowledge and God's abilities. We believe that we can competently control our lives rather than giving that control to God. Jesus said we should believe in him with a childlike faith. The second observation I made while trying to settle on a hymn for today was this. Various hymns might appear or drop off my top 10 hymns list as they gained or lost relevance according to what was happening in my life at the time. The period of the last 8 years has been one with a lot of change for me. And that's saying a lot coming from a Methodist preacher's kid who moved around all the time. In the past 8 years, I've changed careers 3 times. I've moved 3 times. I've added 2 children to the family and decided to go back to school after adding 2 children to the family. While these changes have been positive, they have also been extremely stressful. Perhaps most stressful of all for me has been just trying to figure out what to do with myself after 10 years spent performing professionally. My natural reaction to stress, and I suspect the same may be said for some of you out there, is to try and work myself out of a stressful situation or somehow try to control the outcome of that stressful situation. More often than not, I end up worrying myself into a bad mood, overcomplicating things, or just plain stressing myself out for no good reason. I'm sad to say that for the past 8 years, all too often I've just worried or overcomplicated or stressed myself out instead of simply just praying. The original title of the hymn is "Pray Without Ceasing." It gives us an indication of one of the scriptures commonly used as a reference. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, consists entirely of those 3 words, "Pray without ceasing." Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Some of the happiest, most stress-free people I've ever met are those that have taken the message of those 2 scriptures to heart. As they have trusted God to control their lives, their capacity for joy has increased, and their level of worry and stress has decreased. They share with God whatever is on their hearts, not just every day, but every day throughout the day. How are they able to do this? I think this is where that childlike faith comes in. Without overcomplicating or overthinking, they just simply believe that God hears and answers prayer. Maybe I chose this hymn because it was speaking the loudest to be chosen. I like the childlike simplicity of its text. I like how the hymn was written as if it were a conversation or a bit of advice. and how it refers to Jesus as a faithful friend. I find it comforting because it tells us not to be discouraged or worried, as Jesus already knows our burdens and our weaknesses, and also how it reminds us that we will find shelter and rest for our souls if we only trust enough to ask for it. Performers are often accused of trying to be in the spotlight by making everything about them. I hope you will forgive me if this has turned into a sermon to myself. I'm hoping that it will speak to some of you today as well. My hope for myself and everyone here is that every day throughout the day, this week and going forward, whatever our joys, our sorrows, sins, and yes, our stresses may be, that we can remember what a friend we have in Jesus, and that we trust enough with a childlike faith to take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen.
Friends, you may be seated. It has, in fact, come to the time in the service where we take everything to the Lord in prayer. And so, once again, I ask you this morning, what joys and what concerns do you bring with you this morning to worship? Amen. Safe travels and traveling mercies for Sophie. May her work be blessed. We pray for your grandson, Brandon, who is entering the National Guard. We pray for Helene and Jay, who are having difficult times in life right now. We pray for Jonathan in his remaining time with hospice care, that God might be with him throughout the entire journey. We lift up Allison Tracy down in Florida, who is missing the support and love of this congregation. Other joys and concerns. and we are glad to have you. Let us then take a moment of silence to let these prayers seep into our hearts, and then we will sing, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Let us be in silence. God of beauty and grace, God of life and liberty, God of this time and this place, bend down low. Send your spirit into our very midst that our hearts might be set aglow. God, we ask you on this day to send your wisdom. Send your wisdom, God, into our leaders, into the Iraqi leaders, and into the leaders of ISIS, that peace might be plucked from the midst of war, that calm might be sown in the place of fear, and that reconciliation rather than recrimination might be the goal of Sunni, Shiite, and all Iraqis. God, we ask you to be with this local body of Christ. Lift up the lonely, God. Strengthen the scared. Sit with the sick. And God, be with the broken. On this day, we give you thanks for this church, for all who nurture it, all who walk with it, and all who stumble through the doors. We give you thanks for hymns and picnics. God, as we enter this beautiful season here in this beautiful place, stir our hearts and minds to find you in new places and new ways. God, as we enter this time of summer, remind us always that whether we experience joy or sorrow, whether we know pain or pleasure, that you are there with us in the midst of all of it, and that you will never leave us to face any of it alone. We pray all these things through the one we follow, our brother, our teacher, our guide, our mentor, our healer, and our savior, the one we know is Jesus. And let us all say, Amen.
To see in the name of Jesus.
brothers and sisters, during the offering, since we have no choir there, you will be the choir, and you will sing the offertory anthem. They are familiar hymns that you should know. They are "Just As I Am Without One Plea" and "Blessed Assurance." They are on the next page. Friends, let us respond to God's love with our love. Let us respond to God's generosity with our generosity. Let us give from the bounty with which we have been given. This morning's offering will now be given and received.
Things flow. Praise God, flesh born low. Alleluia, alleluia.
Loving God, bless these gifts that they might become holy. Bless all those who have gathered that we might become holy. And send these gifts and those gathered here forth to be gifts to everyone who is in need. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, before we go on our way, let me issue two invitations. First, please come forward through these doors because there will be food and there will be drink in there, but don't eat or drink too much because right afterwards will be our all-church picnic. Now, Michelle asked you to look at that back page that you might know when and where it is. There's one thing on there. It asks you to please bring a dish to pass. It asks you to bring meat or something to grill. If you didn't bring a dish to pass, if you didn't bring meat to grill, please come anyway, because there will be plenty of meat to grill, and I promise you, this church has never had too little food. So please come and enjoy. It's a beautiful afternoon in a beautiful place. Let us now close our worship in song. Brothers and sisters, sometimes the road seems long, so let us walk together. Sometimes the road seems difficult, so let us help one another. When the journey is joyful, let us share that joy, and when we discover truth and beauty, let us dwell in it. Friends, go now. In the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. And let the whole church say, Amen.